Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Speaking of leisurely breakfasts. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because I bought these last night, so this is my breakfast now. Tyrell's crisps.
We're doing a lot of branding recently on our show.
I really want sponsorship.
All right. We'll wait till Alison's finished chewing and then we'll start.
Sorry, that's gross. I'm sorry, everyone.
You know who can't cope with that is Alex. Alex can't even cope with me having a sip of my tea.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Alex.
Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
Well, guys, I'm wearing my new knitted top.
I knew you would be. Look at that. The intricate detail up at the top.
Very nice. Very nice,
Maureen. That is bloody difficult to do. I am pointing to those who are listening to the lacy bit at the top, which is very, very difficult. Most difficult pattern I've ever done.
Maureen, I'm so impressed with that. I genuinely don't even know. I don't understand how anyone is capable of doing that. It looks great. Look, I know it was an effort, but it looks great. Well done.
Honestly, because you've got to do every row is different. So, like, if you did the pattern wrong, you had to unravel, then do the pattern again, and then unravel and because you're knitting on loops. So if you unravel, you kind of lose the stitch. But it was a good project for me to do. I really enjoyed it. And
didn't take you that long.
It didn't take me that long. Apart from the lacy bit, it's quite an easy knit. It's just the lacy bit that took blinking ages.
Yeah, but compared to that red one, I felt like the red one took forever. But this one, you seemed to bash out.
Yeah, I did take a long time to knit that. But yeah, so that was it. So thanks to Maggie. And also, obviously, I've been doing my new jigsaw.
Can I see your face, please, Maureen? Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I've really enjoyed looking at your tits for the last...
Well, most people do, to be fair.
2 to 3 minutes. Absolute pleasure. But please, let me see your face. Okay.
And my eczema's going. Da-da-da.
Hey. Oh, Maureen. Oh, so, yeah, that's so
I've been
good.
I've been doing hobbies. That's what I've been doing.
I know. But your jigsaw, it's done, isn't it? You've done it. Well done. How did that feel? Just put the last jigsaw piece into the jigsaw. How was that? Must have been an incredible feeling.
I do. There is a sense of achievement. You know, but
did
actually
you ride on that high for a while?
You know what's quite good is because you kind of, you think something goes somewhere and then it goes somewhere else. Do you know what I mean? It's quite good at problem solving. You know, I kind of like it.
I genuinely like a jigsaw, as you know. So,
and also it keeps you in the present because, as you know, I have a tendency to spiral sometimes. And so, when you're doing a jigsaw, it's particularly the complicated one that I'm doing, you can only think about that bloody jigsaw. What piece goes next? You know what I mean?
Is that blue works.
A different lighter blue? Kind of, is that shape going there?
It works well for your personality, Maureen, I have to say, the whole jigsaw thing, because you need to be hyper-focused. And I think when you have something where you can be hyper-focused, which requires for you to have that almost like tunnel vision, that's perfect for you, particularly when you're feeling, you know, anxious or you've got a lot of stuff on your plate and you've got to juggle a lot of things. Just having that one thing to laser focus on has been is as close as I think you will ever get to mindfulness. It's really important. And I think keep doing it. Buy another puzzle. Do you know what I mean? Or whatever. Find another thing. But whatever it is, just don't let it slide. Yeah, I think it's great.
What about you two guys? What have you been up to?
Oh, what an insane time I've had. Just been like bumper to bumper, roller coaster ride. Tour dates, so much travel. So much travel is what I've been doing. And I have been all over the country, up and down, round and around. What can I tell you about it? Not much, because it's not interesting. It's never interesting, is it? This
no,
is the problem,
really.
Is that people look and they go, oh, you're going to all these places, it must be exciting. And it's like, no, it isn't actually.
It isn't.
I went to a lovely premier inn in Poole. and wow, that was
living
a delight.
Living the high life.
Living off an A road in Poole. And went to the Hay Festival. That was...
The Hay Festival.
The Hay Literary Festival, where I did comedy, and that was also a gargantuan experience.
It was a literary festival. You just said the Hay Festival, and I was like, so they just celebrate all things.
No, it's a really famous, it's the most famous, probably one of the most famous literary festivals in Britain.
Okay.
It's a big one, but it goes on for quite a long time, Alison, but there were two Fridays where they were doing comedy, and I'm doing I did the first one. And let me say, it was up there as one of the top three gigs I did that week. And
how many gigs did you do that week? Three.
No, it was fun. But it's really difficult when you're on the road. I mean, who wants to know about the experiences of the many service stations I've visited? Not really. I mean, they're not great. I would like to think that at this point in the tour, I would be better prepared and I would actually take food that is edible with me. I never do. I never, ever do. Even day one, Alison, I don't take anything nice with me. So I'm always at a service station going, if I never eat another bloody Marks and Spencer, Pret, whatever, Greggs, Cornish pasty, Ginst, whatever, Burger King, ugh. I just can't do it. And I could make myself, I've got one of those little things where you put your dinner in it and it keeps it warm for about a couple of hours. I could at least have one decent meal in the day. Do I do it? No. Just eat stuff that I literally put into my mouth to swallow and it fills a gap, but actually makes me feel sad after I've finished it.
Yeah. That is tour eating. It's just nonstop.
I mean, I was naughty last night. It was raining. I had no food. Absolutely pouring down. So I ordered in a McDonald's. I don't normally eat McDonald's, but I was like, you know what? I just fancied a McDonald's.
Well, fair enough. You don't normally eat McDonald's. But I will say, of all of the things to have delivered, I mean, there is a food stuff. And who knows what it is or what's inside it or what it's made of. But the fact that it can only has a shelf life of under a minute and a half makes me question whether or not we should be eating it. And can I say, it's unlikely that food is going to make it to you in 90 seconds from wherever the fuck they're picking it up from. So what you get, I can only imagine, because I get it often when I'm actually at a McDonald's and they deliver it to me into my hand, is some sort of rubbery, tasteless, sugary, salty, fatty piece of crap. Did you enjoy it though, Maureen?
I did enjoy it, actually.
Good for you. Good for you. let's ask what you got, because I think it says
that's
a lot.
That's what I wanted to know, yeah.
I had
a
McCrispy chicken burger.
Okay.
Chips, vanilla milkshake, and a McFlurry, Maltese McFlurry.
Oh, my God. Everything.
Although, I will not allow you to say chips. You got them from McDonald's. What did you get? What did you
chips.
Get, Maureen? No, you did not. It's the only time I won't let you do it. You got French fries. You got French fries.
They are French fries. They're not chips. Chips are what they say they are, which is bits of potato. They're chipped off of potato, but these are, I don't even know what they're. Deeply processed.
Yeah, I mean, chips are one of the worst things you can eat out.
I mean, you heard it here first.
And on that note, Alison, how was your week?
The shock on Alex's face. He's like, what are you talking about?
It was the chipped off the potato. I didn't get that that's what a chip is.
Yeah, it's chipped off a potato. Yeah, that's why it's called chips.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm an idiot. I never even thought of that.
You're not an idiot, Alex. This is
am I blowing people's minds right now? This is what chips are chipped off a potato, and that's why they're called chips. Yeah?
Huh.
You're welcome. We've all learned something today. But Maureen is the one with the facts, and always. And the fact that I have come with any kind of facts is absolutely beyond the pale. Anyway, I can't even remember what the bloody hell we were talking about.
No, Alison's going to tell us about her week. That's what she's
Yeah, my week.
Right. Well, great.
I actually emceed a wedding this week, guys. I was an MC at a wedding. I know.
That sounds awful.
Wow.
Well, this is the thing with family and friends. I actually, look, people invite me to weddings. Weddings, great. They're what they are. I would rather be of service at a wedding than just trying to like wander about and be at the wedding, right? So whenever a friend or a family member is getting married, I like to offer my services so I can do something. So yeah, they're like, it was my cousin and I offered to MC. So I did a little MCing at a wedding. It was lovely. It was everything you would think a wedding would be. There were people, they danced, they celebrated love. We ate some overpriced chicken. It was fantastic. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah,
great. Great.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's different. I know why Maureen said that, because I think it's different when you're asked
to do a wedding.
Yeah.
To do a wedding and you don't know them and they say, oh, we'd really like you to do a gig. Like,
no.
Yeah. You never need to do gigs at a wedding. There's no doing sets at a wedding. I'm like, I will be like, hey, everyone, we're wandering this way. Now let's listen to this person speak. Now let, like, because literally people need someone to do that, right? And I don't mind doing crowd control. I'm into it.
Oh, okay, great. I can't think of anything worse, but I great. Yeah, yeah, I mean, I listen at weddings. I don't even like weddings. But when I'm at them, just pass me a glass of champagne and let me get through whatever the fuck this is.
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's long. It goes on for ages. There's loads of people I don't know. It's like, sometimes I don't even know the bride and groom that well. I'm like, what am I even doing here? But if they're really good friends and you know, you're around amongst people you like and you can have a laugh, then great. Get involved.
Yeah.
But Maureen, I know, has done weddings and also was about to, before I rudely interrupted her, tell us about a comedian. And I think we've mentioned this on here before, but I think it's worth hearing it again, even if we've said it before. Maureen, take it away.
Chris Neal, I don't think you know him, Alison, because he doesn't really do comedy now. Very, very funny comedian.
Really funny.
Really funny. And Barbara Nice was meant to do it and then she couldn't do it, so he went in her place. And he said he died so badly that the bride came up to him and went, can you please stop? You're ruining my wedding.
Well, who booked a comedian in the first place? Wow.
It's always a bad idea.
People don't want a comedian. They think they do. They see you at a club and they think, oh, you would be good at my wedding. And it's like,
no,
I wouldn't be good at your wedding.
No.
Because you like me, or maybe your partner likes me, or maybe the best man likes me, or whatever, whoever it is, or the bridesmaid, or whatever. 99% of the people in the room don't like me,
no.
Don't want me, and only want to hear stories about the bride or the groom. And that's all they want to hear about. Now, I don't know the bride and the groom. I don't know them. So I can't tell you any stories about them. I'm going to be doing a set which is disconnected from everything else that is happening today. Is that what you... Nobody
I mean,
that.
I did do a set once, and I knew the two brides. It was a lesbian wedding in Brighton, what the chances. Civil partnership, lesbians couldn't get married in those days. And it actually went a lot better than I thought it would. But I mean, well, they're divorced now. So I don't think I've got anything to do with the divorce. That's by the by.
I don't think you're connected to that.
I wasn't connected to that. But it did go better than I thought. But generally, and I did it as a favour. But I mean, I would, like, you see them sometimes advertise comedian and it's usually good money. And I'm like, I'd rather not have the money.
I'll do it. If you've got lots of money and you're getting married, I'll come do a set at your wedding. I will.
Yeah, I've done a couple many, many years ago, and neither of them went well. And I'm sure those people, when they think back to that time, think, wow, that person is one of the worst comedians I've ever seen in my life, and I'll never be able to change their mind because I was truly dreadful. Anyway, Alison, I'm glad that you had a good time. I think you give off an energy that I can't offer anyone, and that's why it is. I don't naturally give off that energy where people go, she just came in a ray of sunshine and just lightened the mood. They're like, oh, some sort of grumpy lezzer shouted at us for half an hour and then fucked off. Okay, so we've all had a week. What a week we've had. Many of us can't remember our week. I include myself in that. But nonetheless, it was one of those. But it's time that this week is over because we're heading back to Maureen Younger. I can't wait, Maureen, actually, because I actually have no idea what this week's Be My Maureen moment is.
I messaged Jen, I have just put olive oil in my eyes. And I was like, sitting there going, why is it so blurred?
I mean, you can't make this shit up, can you?
It was fine in the end, but I wouldn't recommend it.
No, you wouldn't recommend it, Maureen.
All right, so I was doing a play in Berlin. It was an old Coward play, Fallen Angels, and I was the maid. And it was the smallest role, but it was the best role. So, like, the first night, I've got this funny business, and I got, like, an applause break as I went off. So I was like, yay. And I think the lead actress was a bit pissed off. So a couple of days later, agents were in. And the business was I had to find this photo, and then I do all this stuff about this photo. Anyway, the agents are in one night. The photo isn't there, like, it's not where it's supposed to be. So, like, I can't do my business. I'm panicking. Finally, I find the photo. I think she's put it under a plate.
So what a cow!
I know. So, you know someone stitched you up, but you can't prove it. But it's like, you definitely stitched me up. So, I found I could do my business. And I went backstage and I said, look, I couldn't actually accuse her. I said, the photo wasn't where it's supposed to be. She was like, oh, yeah, we decided to move it. And I went, what? And you weren't going to tell me. And I'm the one who's going to find it.
No, that's not okay.
So I was like, you did that on purpose, you bitch. And so I'm angry, I'm steaming. And I've got this scene towards the end where I go into this little room with my to meet my lover, right? So I go into this room. Anyway, I can't open the door. So I'm like, I can't open. The bitch has blocked the door. The bitch has fucking blocked the door, right, in my head. And I'm pulling and pulling and pulling. I pull the door off the hinges, right, so I can get into the room and do my scene. And then as I'm leaving, I don't realise I've pulled it off the hinges, by the way. So as I'm leaving, I see somebody fixing the door. And I went, oh, what's wrong with the door? He went, oh, you pulled it off the hinges. I went, did I? And I went, yes. And my friend was in the audience. She said, everybody who kept thinking in the audience were going, you were meant to push it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was just about to say, just push the door, Maureen.
Yeah, because I was so angry. I was convinced that she'd blocked the door. So, like, she goes, everybody was in the audience was just thinking, push it, push it. And basically, I pulled the door off the hinge.
Oh, Maureen.
I was so convinced she'd blocked the door.
I mean, what? God, people are very petty, aren't they?
Honestly. It was one of those things, it's an annoying thing because you know they've done it on purpose, but you can't. You know, she just, oh, sorry.
She admitted it. She said that she moved
said, oh, we, no, but she said, like, you know, oh, we thought we'd better there, but we forgot to tell you. And it's like, well, I'm the one who's got to find it. So no, it's like,
yeah, I mean,
you know, yeah, you didn't tell me. So, yeah, but actually, I enjoyed it because I had a like smallest role. And also, it made me realise, you know, the advantage of being a comic is you don't have to work with other people. Oh, do you know what I mean? Yeah. You're on stage, you just have to do your own thing. And then they used to get really nervous about going on stage. And I'm thinking, mate, you haven't written it. Do you know what I mean? You can blame the writer, you can blame the director, you can blame the other actors, you can blame, you know what I mean? It's like, compared to stand-up, mate, I mean, okay, it might be different, you're doing Hamlet or something, or King Lear, but I was like, it's an old Coward play. So anyways, so that was it. I took the door off the hinges and didn't notice.
I mean, the fact that you didn't notice is probably the bit where I'm a bit confused as to how you didn't notice that. But I was, as you were telling the story, I was like, push it, Maureen, just push the door.
Yeah, that's what the audience were thinking.
It's like being in the hotel. I'm locked in! Have you tried pushing the door? It's opened. Okay. Yeah, I can relate. Oh, Maureen. Well, this actor, I assume she's not a big star now.
No, I don't think so.
And that is what happens when you mess with Maureen Younger. Your career goes down the toilet. Karma works very quickly. Maureen, for once, I'm sort of on side.
Yeah.
I'm totally on side with you. And I'm like, yeah. And also, fair enough, after that happened, that you think, oh, she's blocked the door, the little bitch.
Yeah.
And you know what's really funny about this play? Because he wanted me to do a sex scene. And I was like, I'm not doing a sex scene. I'm not doing nudity. I'm not doing a sex scene. there's no sex scene. No, you know. And then I saw the guy I was going to have the sex scene with, and I thought, oh, I should have shut up.
Wagga wagga wagga.
He was really cute. He was really cute. But I was like, I can't go back now after I made such a bloody. I'm not doing a sex scene.
I will only have a sex scene if with these parameters.
Who is involved? Number one. Yeah.
That's a classic that you said no to a sex scene of a man. You were like, quite happy to do that with you every night. Never mind, Maureen. That just only helps to solidify your Be More Maureen status, yeah. Which is what we're here for. Maureen, thank you very much for your Be More Maureen moment. As ever, entertaining. This time, though, I'm on side. Very rarely can we say that's true, but I'm I'm team Maureen on this one. So I can't believe that we've left something that almost made sense, even though I can't believe you walked away from a door off its hinges and didn't notice. And let's move over to Alison. Alison, you've got a problem. Someone can help. I think it's you. It's time to ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice, I ain't using it.
All right, well, this one, I'm surprised that this problem has taken so long to appear, and I'm delighted. Here we go. This isn't a life-shattering situation, but it's tricky, and I can't be the only one. My son is nearly 22 and has been living away from home studying for the past 3.5 years. He's a nice chap, thoughtful, kind. It's just been us since... a situation. There we go. We're away this week together. And honestly, his breakfast table manners have gone downhill. Slurping milk, clanking spoon on teeth, shoveling more in before swallowing, kind of like a chain smoking but with shreddies. Also pouring huge glasses of orange juice like it comes free out of the tap, then leaves everything on the table so milk and Ojia gets warm and flies gather in the bowl. For me, eating breakfast alongside him is pretty disgusting. But shall I say something? How? It's only a week he's left home with good breakfast table manners. Is it my responsibility as his parent to remind him of these things? Or even as another adult, should I? He has a girlfriend, and I wonder if she minds it at all. Or thinks, bloody hell, what a bad mother. It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, I know, but I would appreciate your thoughts. Okay, first off, please don't think it's a reflection on you. I really hate it when moms take that upon themselves. It's not a reflection on you. But yes, it is your job to tell him that he is eating like a slob. You absolutely have every right. In fact, you are doing him a service by not saying it to him. Okay? So you can say it to him. Now, maybe you want to be delicate. Maybe you want to be a little bit more gentle, because I'll tell you, look, I don't think as myself as a person with bad manners per se, but my best friend Jody is very quick to point out when I do things that some might see as obnoxious that maybe I don't know. For example, apparently I slurp my tea when I drink it, and she's not delicate. If I drink my tea around her and I slurp, she looks at me and she's like, "Slurpy, do you mind?" and is immediately on me for that. And I do get a bit defensive. I'm like, well, I'm just drinking my tea. So I can understand how maybe you want to, and that, Jody, if you're listening, I still love you. Thank you for making me a better person with your harsh, direct honesty. I love you. But I just think maybe you want to deal with it delicately. So some ways that maybe you can address this, you could find a mutual purpose. You know, I really enjoy getting to have breakfast with you. Sometimes I feel like you're in a real big rush. You know, the way you quickly eat things and, you know, maybe I like our breakfast time. Let's take our time. Maybe encouraging that way is a nicer way to say like, hey, we don't have to rush. This isn't a race. This isn't a race to get through breakfast. That might make him relax, maybe pay attention to some more things. Maybe you could use you. You could say, you know, I'm only bringing this up because me, myself, I struggled for a period of time. I did some things at the table people didn't like. Maybe you could use you as the excuse if you want to do that. You could start it by, I mean, no disrespect. I love you. You're my son. I'm so proud of you. However, your eating habits need to change. Oh, you could talk about positives at first. You know, it's so great that we get to spend this time together. And sometimes in the morning, it's lovely to be able to sit with you and have these conversations. And then maybe broach in attention to, but the way you eat, you know, Jen has been very direct with Maureen about watching her eat a jack of potato. You know, there are things that you can bring up with people in a loving, wonderful manner that just makes them aware of the fact that those around you might be disgusted. So I absolutely
Jen, are you
saying...
listening to this? Listen to
loving.
Yeah, a loving...
delicate manner.
Maureen, I love you. I love all of you. I don't need to see your tonsils as you eat the potato. I love you. I don't need... but, you know, there's ways to say it.
There are ways to say it, and I'm not the person to...
I do think you should say it. I think you're doing your son a service. You're his mom. Please, tell him. Because maybe his girlfriend doesn't know how to do it. Maybe she's worried. And you know what? Maybe you're helping stopping a fight just by being the one to do it. So, tell him about his bad table manners. But try to do it in a loving, non-attacking manner. But I think table manners need to be addressed to a certain extent. I mean, hey, I'm not going to get picky. If you use the wrong fork, I mean, what the fuck? Who cares? But if you are chewing with your mouth open and I'm getting hit in the face with porridge, we've got to talk. You know,
yeah.
Once you're done eating, because I'm not opening my mouth around you.
What's your attitude, Alison, to somebody spitting a bit of pizza out onto the plate?
I think you need to address those moments. I hosted a party the other day. I was talking and I watched a spit go directly into somebody's Prosecco glass. And I know everyone else saw that as well. And I just looked at the room and I was like, I'm just going to get Hazel a new glass of Prosecco. Like, there was no way. I was like, this is, and everyone laughed. And, you know, so you got to address those moments. Did you address it?
No, it was me. Jen gave me a bollocking in the restaurant.
But did you notice whatever happened?
Did I notice?
No, did Maureen notice? I'm saying, did Maureen notice?
Did you Maureen notice what?
Whatever came out of her mouth. I'm imagining something.
Oh, yeah, I did on purpose.
Oh, Alison, I think you've misunderstood what happened.
Oh, yeah, I have. Please tell me what happened. I thought there was an accident.
It was too cheesy. It was a bit too cheesy, so I just spat it out and put it on the plate.
It was four cheeses pizza, Maureen. What were you expecting? It was quattro formaggi. Maureen was going, oh, sorry, but there's too much cheese on this pizza. I went, no fucking shit. It's called quattro formaggi. It's got four cheeses on it.
Anyway, I put it on the plate and Jen was like, cover it up. Put a serviette over it at least. I'm still eating here. Anyway, she got really angry.
Okay, right. Let's rewind. Yeah. I think we've talked about this on this podcast before, but I will just to in case anyone's forgotten or this is the first episode of this you've ever listened to, just to rewind. Let's rewind and let's recap. We're at a pizza restaurant, okay? Maureen has decided there's too much cheese on her quattro formaggi, all right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, so while I'm eating my pizza, she opens her mouth and lets the food that she has chewed fall from her mouth.
Into my hand first.
I like that. This is a good step for you in your mind, Maureen.
Right.
Go on.
Right. And then dropped it onto the table.
No, dropped it on the plate. Yeah.
In front of me.
Yeah. Well, where else was it going to go?
Take a napkin and cover your mouth. And...
You know, when any time you have some chewed food that you're like, oh, I don't think I want to sit this, you spit it into a napkin.
Yeah.
You fold the napkin up.
And you
if anything, hide the napkin.
Yeah.
And then you find an opportune moment to get rid of that napkin. What you don't do is plop it in front of the person opposite you who is already eating a fully chewed bit of dough and cheese whilst they're eating. Now, I thought it was very reasonable for me to say, Maureen, could you please cover that? And she went, why? And I said, because I'm eating. She went, so? And I was like, it's disgusting. And she was like, oh, God. Like, oh, my God, she's so dramatic. And then proceeded to go around and tell everyone, oh, you never guess what Jen was like. You know, little miss table manners. So anyway, I vomited up a piece of food in front of her.
I regurgitated.
And then you're not going to believe it. She was appalled. I mean, what? Who does she think she is? I was like, oh, God, Maureen, I can't even have this conversation with you. If I have to explain to you why it's gross. So anyway, to get back to the problem, which we...
please talk to your son. Otherwise, these issues will continue to happen throughout his life.
What you don't want is your son to end up on a very wide. Poor Maureen. Look, of course I love Maureen. Of course I do. There are many things I love about Maureen. More than I don't love about Maureen. But you don't want to get into a conversation where he's sitting opposite his girlfriend or his partner or whatever, and they have to go, what the flickety fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
You want to nip that shit in the bud.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, yeah. I have attempted to nip it in the bud with Maureen, but as you can see, she still doesn't understand what the problem is. So I'm afraid that ship has sailed.
Get in early now on your 22-year-old son and save him a lot of trouble
or
later.
What you're going to end up with is Maureen Younger, okay? Who still very much doesn't know, doesn't care, doesn't mind. But actually lives her life and she's very happy. So, Alison, very good advice.
Thanks.
I definitely back up your advice by saying, please do talk to your son. And I don't think there's anything wrong. It doesn't have to be combative or confrontational or even, you know, just be like, sweetheart, you know, before you left home, you used to eat your cereal like this. I don't understand why now there's
milk
everywhere.
You're not in jail. You don't have to have elbows up and, you know, no one's coming at you. Yeah.
Slow it down, love, because you're putting me off my coffee. All right? Anyway, mummy loves you very much.
Yeah, exactly. Follow with that. And there you go. Yeah.
Carry on with your day. Even Maureen agrees with us. And Maureen doesn't always agree. But she's nodding ahead. Maureen, remember, it's not a visual medium.
Yeah.
There, she's done it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got it here on the podcast. Maureen agrees.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Sorry, Alison, I'm distracted by the fact that Maureen appears to be drinking double cream.
I'm not drinking double cream.
What are you drinking?
It's a cafe latte.
Oh, thank God. Sorry, Alison, let's be honest. It wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility that Maureen is chugging on some double cream. And now it's time to find out about the televisual let's stretch it out. Podcasts, books, art, fashion. No, fashion, who am I kidding? What have we been watching?
Well, I've been watching another UK TV programme. It's called Annika. I don't know if you heard of that. It's a crime drama series starring Nicola Walker.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And she's head of the Glasgow Marine Homicide Unit. So it's all these murders that happen on Scottish waters. And she's got a teenage daughter with her. And it's a bit of the subplot is her relationship with her daughter. And she's of Norwegian origin. So she's
actually Norway.
From Norway again. Yeah, and so at one point you hear her speak Norwegian. And they do this thing where she breaks the fourth wall. So she's talking to you she talks direct to the camera, so to you. And I haven't really made up my mind whether I find it annoying or it's an interesting device. And she also has like a theme. So at the first couple of episodes, the theme would be she'd be talking about Norse legend or something, or Ibsen's, is it the master bit? Oh, I can't remember. It was Enemy of the People. And then it goes on to like she talks about Twelfth Night. So there's always a theme of something that she talks about. But it was, you know, I watched all six episodes. It's set in Scotland. So you've got very nice scenery. And, it, you know, it's kind of a nice police procedural. So if you want to watch something that's not too, you know, demanding, and Nicola Walker's always good money, it's worth watching. There's a second series coming out soon, I think. So, yeah, Annika on UK TV. So you can watch for free if you're in Britain.
Great. Unfortunately, I haven't been watching anything because I've been working. So it's really awful, isn't it? I've sort of watched bits and bobs of things, but not really settled into anything.
We watched the Lincoln Lawyer, didn't we, the other week?
A few weeks ago, yeah, we watched Lincoln Lawyer. Yes, I could talk about the Lincoln Lawyer. What happened was, you're not going to be surprised to hear this, but Virgin went down a few weeks ago.
For once.
Like, literally, we had no internet for about a day. Well, 24 hours, like nothing. So no Netflix, no any of the... We couldn't get hold of anything. Honestly, Chloe and I, we were bereft. We were like, oh my God, we're going to have to watch terrestrial television. Ugh! Anyway, so we flicked through and on film 4, The Lincoln Lawyer was on, starring Matthew McConaughey. And, oh God, I can't even remember who else. But it was, you know, it was entertaining. It's the film's probably about, I don't know, 12 years old, but it didn't really feel like it was particularly dated.
It's got Ryan Phillippe in it as well, hasn't it?
Oh, Ryan Phillippe, yeah. So Ryan, and Marissa Tomei, who...
is brilliant. She's always
absolutely
good.
Absolutely. Also one of my big crushes.
Oh, good. She's a great
absolutely
one.
Yeah. Always been one of my biggest crushes, Marissa Tomei. And also what a phenomenal actor she is. She's so
she's
good.
Fantastic. Yeah.
She's so good. And completely wasted in this film, frankly. She is. What I find irritating about an actor like Marissa Tomei is that she's just underused and underrated and given parts that, like, she's too good for this part, frankly. Anyway, it stars... So this is the film that launched Matthew McConaughey's career. And Maureen and I and Chloe watched it. And we you know, he's a lawyer. He's a defence lawyer. His ex-wife is Marissa Tomei, who's also a lawyer, but she works for the prosecution service. And he has a reputation for defending all kinds of, like, you know...
Dirtbags
that are probably guilty. And Ryan Phillippe asks for him. Now, Ryan Phillippe plays this character who's super rich, super privileged, and he is... been found guilty or not
or
found
been
guilty
accused of.
He's accused rather of battery murdering and rape mm-hmm. not murdering a prostitute, just battery and rape.
Yes, that's right.
And Matthew McConaughey goes in to defend him, and that is the start of the story, and I won't tell you anymore because otherwise it's a big spoiler. But Ryan Phillippe is suitably creepy in it, sleazy in it and annoying, and Matthew McConaughey is very much Matthew McConaughey in this one.
I love Matthew.
But he's great. And it's really, it's got William H. Macy, who I also love, if for the lesbians, for the L word leser lovers, Catherine, I never know how to pronounce her surname, Manning. Anyway, she's in it. And it was really entertaining, actually. I'd seen it before when it came out, and I was like, oh, we might as well watch this because there's nothing else on. But it genuinely was, it's a good film. It is a good film. It's in that sort of... I don't know if it's a John Grisham film.
Like it could be, doesn't it?
But it feels like it's in that vein of John Grisham. I don't know if it is a John Grisham book. It might not be. But it's that kind of vein. But it's very easy to watch. And actually, you know, whatever you think about Matthew McConaughey, and I find him deeply irritating, he is a good actor, actually. And if that tickles your fancy, I mean, you can literally watch it anywhere. So, and it's a very easy watch. Alison, talk to me about what is happening in the horror vein.
Yes. Okay. So I believe I've mentioned this one before, but I don't care. I think it suits this, the idea of bad manners, table manners. I am going for the horror movie, You're Next. It is so good. Okay. The premise of You're Next, when a gang of masked axe-wielding murderers descend upon the Davidson family reunion, the hapless victims seem trapped until an unlikely guest of the family proves to be the most talented killer of all. So basically what happens is a family is in disarray. They're a rich family. They invite all their children to come together to celebrate their like their anniversary. So all the kids come together. All the kids are spoiled little, you know, they're just, they don't care. They're rude. They're, you know, they don't respect their parents. And then one of them brings their girlfriend. And what I love is she's such a demonstration of good manners. She's offering to help the mom. She's doing all this stuff at the dinner table. She's so polite. Everyone else is being a dink, but she's so lovely. And then all of a sudden, at the main dinner, when they're first there, someone notices, and I'm giving away a bad moment, but I don't care. This is why. It's the iconic dinner scene at the very beginning of the movie. They're all having this fight. There's a fight at the dinner table. And then one of the guests notices something out the window, and they're like, What is that? And looking out the window. And all of a sudden, the family's fighting. Nobody notices. And an arrow comes from somewhere, shoots him right in the head.
Oh!
He stands there with an arrow in his head. Everyone's so busy fighting, nobody notices until the nice guest, the girlfriend of the, is like, oh my, and then, boom, action starts. And it's like a chase for survival from that moment on, because they're being hunted within this house. So there's these masked animal killers outside. The twist at the end is phenomenal.
Okay.
It's so good. And it's great because this guy doesn't know his girlfriend was basically raised on like a survivalist camp. Like her parents were like these, like, you know, on the ground. So she knows exactly, like she turns out, she ends up saving, like it's an amazing, it's so action packed. It's creepy. But I just love that it all stems from like that family sitting down a meal. And then it just goes to hell. It is the best movie. You're next. If you want to be jumping out of your seat, this is the one for you.
Great. Do you know what, Alison? I'm just looking it up. I've just Googleized it, as mm-hmm. I always do. But it's actually got really good reviews. So
it's a like good movie. Yeah.
So Rotten Tomatoes gives it 79%, and which is for a horror film, you know. Horror film is pretty good. And 73% from the website Just Watch. So maybe you should Just Watch. You can rent it, I believe, or you probably can get it on Prime. They're always on Prime, aren't they?
They're always
whatever.
On Prime.
Listen, I don't know where you live. You probably, if you don't live in the UK, just why stop
Google
asking
it.
Me? Google it, for
Google
God's
it.
Sake. Some sort of
we do have to remember, we do have listeners from other parts of the world. Our last or one of the episodes, too, I wanted to bring up, you guys said the word chuffed. Nobody in North America or Canada knows what the word chuffed is.
Oh, did
stoked.
We?
Stoked.
Stoked. Chuffed is like really happy, really good, hooray. Chuffed sounds like it should be a negative word, right? I was so chuffed at that guy. To me, that's what it sounds like, but it's the opposite. Just to put it out there, sometimes there are some words that
also, you
we're
need
learning.
To know that chuff is also a euphemism for JJ. So,
is it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just realised because I've got a lion
got a chuff.
In my show.
A chuff.
I do very much have a chuff, but I refer to, there's a line in my show where I say gluten-free chuff. And I've realised that a lot of people are like, I don't know what chuff, gluten-free chuff is. Mm. It's your vag. It's your vag hole.
There we go. Learning. Sorry to sidetrack. Learning.
Your vulva. Let's say vulva. Let's not say hole, for heaven's sake. Let's keep it. Let's be kind about our bits and bobs.
Scientifically accurate.
Yes, that is scientifically mm-hmm. accurate, because your mm-hmm. vagina is the hole and your vulva is the rest, is all of it. We're all, let's talk about, let's not shy
let's
away.
Let's talk about chuffs.
Let's talk about
chuffs,
baby. Let's talk about you and me. Thank you very much, Alison, for your horror recommendation. Let's go back to Maureen Younger. She has a corner that has been cultured over and over and over again. It's probably septic. Maureen, I'm so sorry. Sometimes I don't know what's going to... I'm improvising. I didn't mean that.
Thank you very much.
Of course, it's the corner time that is often cultural, but sometimes just batshit.
Anyway, moving on. Fucking hell, what an intro. I'm going to get Alice's intro in future. We'll talk music. George and Ira Gershwin, I don't know if you know the music by the Gershwins. I absolutely love George Gershwin was brilliant. And he died. He was so prolific. And he died at 38 of a brain tumour. So he didn't...
did not know that.
No, and he wrote so many songs.
I thought he lived till, he was old and grey.
Oh, so his songs are... Some of my favourite songs are by him. His compositions have been adapted for use in film and television, and many have become jazz classics. He did Rhapsody in Blue, which I think they used in Manhattan, if I remember, the Woody Allen movie. Wrote American in Paris. And also he did Porgy and Bess.
I was just about to ask you if that was a Gershwin musical.
Yes, it was Summertime, of course, is one of the most famous songs around.
But that whole soundtrack is beautiful.
Porgy and Bess was first performed in Boston in 1935 before it moved to Broadway, and it featured a cast of classically trained African American singers, which is obviously quite a risky thing to do in 1935 in America.
Yeah. Oh my God! Yes.
Yeah, and it wasn't a success when it first came out.
Well, it wouldn't be, would it?
It's one of the best known and most frequently performed operas.
Oh,
I mean, I don't know how people feel towards it today, because obviously it's a white guy from the 1930s writing a black story. But I remember seeing it years ago in the Savoy. But the songs are fantastic.
And also, you'll be surprised how many of them. If you're thinking, I've never heard of this. You absolutely have.
Yes, you will have heard of. Let's Call the Whole Thing Off is a nice work. You can get it. Just going through. It's Wonderful. That's a great song. The Man I Love. That's a great song. This is one of my favourites, Someone to Watch Over Me.
Oh, my God. I was just about to ask you if that is a song. I mean, it is one of the most beautiful songs
ever, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love that song. Foggy Day.
I can't believe it. He was 38 when he died. 38. I just thought.
I know, because he wrote so much. I did nothing by the time I was 38. Shall We Dance? Can't Take That Away From Me. That used to be my audition song. Yeah. That's a really great song. Embraceable You, Bewitched, Bothered and Bewildered, which has got the great line, I worship the trousers that cling to you. And also, if you want to get a great introduction to Gershwin, there is a great album. I've got it. It's got four. I've got the CD, obviously, because I'm that old. I haven't streamed or anything. It's a four CD of Ella Fitzgerald singing the songs of Gershwin.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's beautiful.
What a combination. Ella Fitzgerald, one of the best singers ever, and Gershwin. It's a really, really... I think this actually might even be two albums, but there's definitely one album, and it was in a blue cover, and it's absolutely brilliant. Ella Fitzgerald, Gershwin, you can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong. And I actually really like Nina Simone singing Gershwin as well. It's a very different... Because Ella Fitzgerald has got the kind of voice which she's almost faultless.
Oh, it's sort perfect.
But Nina Simone is off. She's doing something different, you know. But when she sings "I Love You, Porgy," that is such a. It's just such.
Oh
a
yeah, that's a great song.
I mean, but with the way she sings it in particular, I don't think anyone sings it better than she does, because it's so. You really feel it. But, you know, I always think those songs, you're best to listen to on vinyl. But that's me. But you've obviously, we're in a streaming age, but you can probably get them on wherever you stream your music. But I genuinely think it's worth investing in buying some Gershwin and listening to it. As it was meant to be heard.
Yeah, I mean, he's brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Maureen, that's a brilliant recommendation. I really like it when you do music.
Yeah, me too.
Really like it. Yeah. Thank you so much for that. Brilliant cultural corner for Maureen Younger. Nearing the end of the show, aren't we?
Yes, we're nearing the show, and I wonder what is Jen's... Jen's? Yeah,
okay,
Jen's.
Let's...
That was very smooth.
I wonder who Joan is.
There's so much wrong with that. We're nearing the end of the show, and let's speak to Jones.
I've called Jen Jo Brister once. I did refer to Jen as Jo.
Is that
Brister.
When they mistaken her for your son?
No.
That's my son,
yeah, my
Jo.
Son. Anyway, the one and only Jen Brister, what's your goat?
Don't judge me. Now, you're going to be judging me now, but bloody well wait, okay? This is terrible, isn't it? That's what's got my goat. And do you know who I blame? Society. Okay, that was one of the best introductions I've had, Maureen. Of course, nobody in the podcast will know how long it took to get that bit out. I mean, karmically, I deserved that. What's got my goat? Well, look, it's, I tell you, I think, I don't know if I mentioned this a few weeks ago. I don't know. I think it, I don't know if it came up in the podcast, but I got intercepted on the interweb when I was trying to buy insurance, and I got scammed.
What? No, you have. I didn't know this.
Yeah, no. So I got scammed, and it was the only reason I'm talking about it. It got my goat for any number of reasons, and also because I had no one to blame, which was so annoying when you can't.
Oh, that's annoying.
I love to find someone to go, well, and if you hadn't, and that is the bit. So what happened was, and let this be a warning to you. I went on one of those comparison websites, one of the very popular ones, okay, that is on the television all of the time, telling us to go onto their website to get our chip deal. And I did. And it wasn't who they said they were. So you go through, and I then went through to they pass you through, like, right now, this is the insurance company, and you go through to them, and then you fill it out, and you pay, and then you off you go and you live your life. But it wasn't. I don't know how I got intercepted. I don't know how it happened. Nobody can understand why. And when I screen grabbed the screen to send to the company, I said, this is the screen that came up. They were like, yep, that looks like us, but that's not our telephone number. And I was like, well, whose telephone number that is? He goes, well, that is a scam number. You've been scammed. And I was like, right, okay, but I've just spent quite a lot of money on insurance. You know, what can I do? They were like, well, I don't know. And I was like, well, I said, come on, there's got to be something here that we can do about this. This is crazy, because I haven't taken a call and I haven't been emailed and replied to an email and given my bank details. I've gone through one of these websites that's perfectly legitimate. Now, on reflection, here's what I think I did wrong. Now, here's something to think about. So this is where I think I went wrong. So don't do this. What had happened was, I had gone back to amend a bit of information that I realised I'd said was wrong. So I'd gone back a page to go, right, I'll change that, because that's not correct information. And I'm always very neurotic about giving wrong information to insurance companies.
In case they go,
actually, we are not covered because you didn't blah, 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 blah. So I went, actually, I think that's wrong. So I changed it. And then I went forward again. So I think that's the only that is the only thing I can think of that I did incorrectly, which meant that I somehow, when I went forward again, I didn't get. That's when they got me. Don't ask me how it happened, but I don't. But that's the only way I know that they could have gone, right, this is how we'll get you. You go back, and when you go forward again, it's not the page you think it is. It's a different page. But here's the other thing. That telephone number, I phoned them because I had questions before I pressed pay. I went, I've got some questions, blah, 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 blah. And they answered the questions.
Sure.
They were like, please, can you make sure that your insurance, you know, that it starts at this date, because if it doesn't, it's not going to be correct, and you need to make sure. So they gave me all of this information like it was like they were a real insurance company.
Wow.
But they're not. They're a scam. And they just take your money and boom, you've got no insurance. But you look, I mean, so that got my goat. That got my goat because it's so easy now to get scammed. But what I would say is, if you are in the process of going through documents online, don't go back. Don't back page it at any point, because I think that can be the only reason how they managed to intercept me and fuck me up, so that when I went forward, I suddenly was on their page instead of the page of the insurance company. That's the only way I can think about it.
Huh? Did you get your money back?
Yes, because the money hadn't left my bank account. So I phoned, it was pending, and I phoned the bank, and actually most banks, even if the money has gone out, you're covered. They cover it.
Right.
Up to a certain amount of money. So you are covered, but it's just, you feel like such a doof. even though you haven't really done anything wrong. You just feel like a complete numpty.
Were you definitely on the right? Was it? It wasn't like a false comparison website.
Well, I just typed in the website onto my thing.
Oh.
Like da-da-da-da-da.com.
Oh.
And it came up and it was all legitimate. But when I went through, maybe that's when they got me.
I'm really glad you brought that up, Jen, though, because I think, look, when we think about these scams, we think it's just like seniors that are getting tricked. But these scams are so...
They're sophisticated now.
So sophisticated that I'm glad you said that. I have a lot more friends like our age that are like, I got scammed. And people are almost embarrassed to admit it because you feel like, oh, my God, I can't believe I was... But they're so sophisticated. So I'm actually really glad you said that out loud, Jen, for all the other listeners, because I bet you there are people out there who are like, me too. So... I'm glad you shared that. Yeah,
it happens all the time. There was a big scam that went, I nearly got caught out on, but then I figured out, hang on a second, this is a scam. There was a big scam over at Christmas time where the Royal Mail was contacting people to say, we've got your parcel. Powerful. We've got your parcels. We're holding your parcels. Could you just confirm your information before, you know? And of course, it's Christmas time. So people are like, oh, maybe somebody sent me a gift. You know, I'd love to know what that gift is. So they're giving them their details. And then, boom, money's taken out of their account. So it can happen. It can happen to any of us. But it's just like in this instant, it was just me going through. And I even went to the trouble of phoning a telephone number. Sure. So what I would say to you, you can check telephone numbers. You can
always
check
do
them.
That before I phone anything.
You can check the telephone number. You actually just type it into Google and Google will tell you. This number is suspicious. This number is legitimate. And it will tell you who the number is. You don't. It's not like a. It won't take you longer than a couple of seconds.
Yeah, you get like often HMRC scans, your own, you know, your old tax.
But HMRC never contacts you.
No.
Mm-mm.
You know, they'd send you the message on your account. So you have to log into your actual gateway account to get a message from HMRC.
I was watching something actually last night.
Same with your bank.
Fraud. Yeah. They were saying if somebody wants your details, nobody ever asks for all your details. And also never transfer money. You know, when they say your bank account is and you've got to transfer money now, no bank would ask you to transfer money. No. So, and it's always urgent. It's always an urgency, always immediate. So if somebody's asking you to do something immediately, just go whatever. And then also if they say phone back, don't, because sometimes they put the phone down. But even though you rang the right number, you actually get straight through to them as well. So you've got to be careful about that. Unplug your phone. It's really easily done.
It's so tricky. But anyway, for anyone that has ever been scammed or for anyone that is get scammed in the future, it's not your fault. It's not even really not your fault. It isn't your fault.
It's
people are bastards and they'll get you one way or another. But if this helps, if this is information that helps, if you're on one of those websites, I think generally they're completely fine. So don't like not use them. But don't start backing. Don't go back. If anything, clear your cookies, start again. I know it's a ball ache. I know it's a ball ache because you put all that information down, but clear your cookies and start again. And that's what I had to do. So now it's, now nobody knows my, I don't know the password for anything. It's really fucking annoying. But anyway. hey ho. It's a small price to pay. And that is what has gotten my goat this week. Look, before we go, I just want to say really thank you to everybody that has reviewed our show. Thank you so much. It does make such a difference. And we're always really grateful. I know, again, it sounds really difficult for me to sound sincere. But thank you so much for the people that have reviewed. If you haven't, please, even if you just go, if you're listening to us on Spotify, give us a 5 stars. If you're on Apple, go on there and give us a nice review. We would absolutely love it. It really, really does help push up our listenership and it gets our podcast out and about, and it's lovely. So but you can do that. It's fucking waffle central. Sorry, can someone else take over?
No, you did a great job. That was lovely.
Fine.
It
was fine. Joan.
Joan, fuck you. Women talking bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Or you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats. Will that do?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.